There we go. Some songs are just good songs. You hear them, you click, you like it right away, you like the sound, you like the feel, and you like the meaning. You know nothing about the song, it just comes on and bam, you like the song right away. In 1971, just a few years back, there was a song in the radio, number one song called Coal Miner's Daughter. And this was one of those songs, it just clicked. People liked the song. But there's a backstory on the song. When it first came out, he didn't realize anything about the meaning of the song other than it was a good song. So let you listen to this clip before we get started.
I was born to coal miner's daughter in a cabin on a hill in Butcher Holler. We were poor, but we had love. That's the one thing that my daddy made sure of. And he shoveled coal to make a poor man's daughter. My daddy, he worked all night in the Van Leer coal mines, all day long in the field of hoeing corn. Mommy, she'd rock the babies at night and read the Bible about the coal oil light. And everything would start all over come break of morn. Daddy loved and raised 8 kids on a miner's pay. And Mommy'd scrub our clothes on a washboard every day. Well, I've seen her fingers bleed. But to complain, there was no need. She'd smile in Mommy's understanding way. In the summertime, we didn't have shoes to wear. But in the wintertime, we'd all get a brand new pair. From a mail order catalog. Money made from selling the hog. Daddy always managed to get the money some way. Yes, I'm proud to be a coal miner's daughter. I remember well the well where I do water. The work we done was hard. At night we'd sleep cause we were all tired. I never thought of ever leaving Butcher Holler. Well, a lot of things have changed since way back then. And it's so good to be back home again. Not much left but the floors. There's nothing lives here anymore. Except the memories of a coal miner's daughter.
Of course, Loretta Lynn wrote the song Coal Miner's Daughter. In 1971, people didn't know the story of this, and it was at number one for 1 week. But over the years, people started researching and finding out. Of course, there was a movie about Coal Miner's Daughter, and people were inspired. We just recently lost Loretta. In an interview, Loretta Lynn said, "Every word is true." I'm talking about her song here. "My daddy would work all night in the coal mine, and during the day he would work in the cornfields. There was 10 of us, and he made a living for us." She said, "There was 8 kids, and I was the second. So I would take care of the kids while Mommy did the sewing." She said, "I would rock the babies to sleep and sing to them." And the song says Mommy's fingers were bleeding, and I'd seen them bleed many times from old clotheslines that were made of wire. Monday was wash day. She'd scrub those washboards all day. Her fingers would bleed, but she didn't complain. Loretta continued, "She'd rock the babies by the coal oil light, Butcher Holler, Kentucky. Was dark at night." It's a great song. Loretta had originally written 10 verses to this song, and they told her it was too long. So she could only pick a few verses. And then Loretta said, "I didn't think anybody would be interested in my life. Everybody has a story about their life. I guess I was just the one that told it." Now, many people have sang Coal Miner's Daughter. I've always loved that song. But to me, nobody does it like Loretta because it's her song. That's the version I like. You see, that's the backstory of Coal Miner's Daughter. The backstory is the true story. And when it comes to Christmas, unfortunately, many people never go beyond the tingly, heartfelt story of Mary and Joseph and the baby born in a stable, visited by shepherds, presented in a historical setting. You're going to find lots of movies that present this event, and it may be presented as part of human history, but that's still not the backstory. Christmas is about what happened behind the scenes. That's the real meaning. That gives us the true picture of happiness, of Christmas. A good place to start, is where we're going to be today, is in the Gospel of John. Of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, give us the details of the birth of Jesus. Mark starts with an Old Testament prophecy about John. But John goes all the way back. He goes further back than that. See, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they have a strong emphasis on the humanity of Jesus. And they talk about his divinity, but not much as much until the resurrection. But from the start of John, John talks about the deity of Jesus. John was written several decades after the three synoptic gospels, and he's writing to Christians whose faith is being challenged. And there was a group of false teachers called the Gnostics, and they believed Jesus was the Son of God, but they had a hard time accepting that he came to the world in the flesh. So John chapter 1 starts with Jesus, who he was before what we know about Jesus in the Christmas story. And this is so important. So if we don't get this right, then everything else in the Christmas story doesn't really matter. So let's look at John 1, and I'm going to be reading the first two verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The backstory, right here in these verses. It's important that we know some essentials about Jesus. Three essentials that we're going to look at today. The first essential is that Jesus is eternal. John begins, in the beginning was the Word. So who was the Word? If you look in this same chapter and you go down to verse 14, this is what it says. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh and lived among us. So who is this? Jesus. Before anything, there is God and there is the Word. Now, the term word can be used for spoken or written word, but here it's a part of it, it's used in a theological way. The word here is deity that existed before time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now, this is actually taken from Genesis chapter 1, which says, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So God existed in the beginning, and the Word existed with Him. It says He was with God. That means He existed separately from God. In other words, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, He didn't just become God. He had always been God. Jesus was never created. He existed eternally, a continuous existence. So let me say it this way. There was never a point in which Jesus came into existence. He was before all things. John chapter 8, the Jewish leaders were arguing with Jesus about who he was, and they brought up their respected ancestor Abraham, who had long since died. And then verse 58 of that chapter, Jesus blew their mind. He said, "Very truly, I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am." Jesus was already God in the beginning. He wasn't a competitor of God. He's not one of multiple gods. He is distinct from God. When Jesus was baptized, do you remember a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." Now let me pause for a second. You may be thinking, what's the big deal? I've heard this my whole life. Well, these truths are under attack today in the modern woke world. Some of your friends, and I'm sure they're very nice people, who are a part of other religious sects, like the Mormons and the Jehovah Witnesses, there's just two, for example, their official doctrines are that Jesus was created. So many people today believe in a diminished Jesus, who was a created being. Christianity itself has been reduced to a social lifestyle. People get together, they act religious, they have fun, and they have no basis for their gathering. And so the idea is this, it doesn't matter what you believe, just get along with everyone, whatever truth you have. But if this is the case, then why do we even have a Bible? The Scripture is the Word of God. No matter how far back you go in terms of physics, Jesus has always been present, and He was with the Father before time. We're looking at three essentials of Jesus. The second essential is that Jesus is co-equal with God. So many people never really know Jesus. They might know about Him. They might be intrigued by Him. They might even have a passing interest in Him. They might even own a Bible. And they might occasionally look through the Bible. But popular Christianity today is not about Jesus and not about the person. So I got to ask, how many of you are all set up for Christmas? You have your Christmas stuff up. Wow, I'm the only one. I have my trees up and everything. Yeah. But Christmas today is all about decorations. It's all about holiday movies. It's all about buying gifts. And it's about getting together as a family. And I enjoy all of these things. And I do them. But none of these things are about Jesus. None of them are. One of the biggest lies is that Jesus was just a human baby, born to Mary and Joseph. And so there's this big emphasis on a sentimental story about a baby being born into the world, just like your baby, just like your grandbaby. And there's this idea that if you're really intelligent, that you really are not going to believe something so far-fetched as Jesus being the Son of God. People like being religious, especially during Christmas. They like decorated churches. They like candles lighting up the sanctuary. And they like to think about the baby Jesus. But they don't think about the Jesus in eternity who's always been. Look back at John 1:1 again. It says again, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God the Father and God the Son are the same exact essence. Jesus is God." Jesus said the same thing in John 10:30 when He said, "I and the Father are one." So the baby in the manger is the full essence of God Himself. Here's another scripture, Colossians 2:9, that says, "For in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form." Jesus was fully God and fully man when He came into the world. Now, 1 John 1:2 can be translated, "He was face to face with God." That means Jesus and God had an intimate, close fellowship between them. Jesus is with God, and Jesus is God. He's not an attribute of God. He's not a message of God, and He's certainly not a creation of God. So when we study the Christmas story, we need to realize that the one who came into the world, Jesus, was God Himself, the one who was with God eternally in the beginning. We need to know the backstory of Christmas to really appreciate it. The third essential is that Jesus is self-existing. Look back in John 1. I'm going to look at verses 3 and 4. "Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." Notice it says everything that came into existence was made by Jesus. We can say it this way, God is the source of all things, and Jesus is the creator of everything visible and invisible. There's a physical world that we all see. And there's a spiritual world, which we don't see, that He also created. There's nothing that exists apart from Him. Now, the false teachers of that day came up with all these angelic levels. Jesus was put on one of many levels of deities. There's some religious groups today that say Jesus isn't the only Son of God. He's just one of many sons of God. This verse says, "By Him, life came to exist." I've heard it said this way, God is the source of all life, and Jesus is the fountain through which all life came to exist. Again, this verse says, in him was life. Jesus didn't get his power from any other source. It came from him. He possesses life in his nature. Jesus said of himself, I am the way and the truth and the life. You must believe that Jesus is the only way, and you must believe that he's the source of life to be saved. Now, the third essential is that Jesus is self-existing. Now, there's nothing in life that exists in and of itself. We all rely on life from some other place. Let's just use a simple example. Our cars. As much as we love our cars, they don't run by themselves. They need fuel, and they need batteries. Now, I realize we're having a big debate in our country right now that we should get rid of all fossil fuel driven vehicles, right? And just have electric vehicles. That sounds like an easy solution, right? Interesting, I was doing a little research on this. Did you know that electric cars have a battery too? And one of the main components of an electric car's battery is lithium. And I didn't realize this, but lithium has to be mined. Ultimately, it harms the soil and contaminates the environment. People on the left will agree with this. It's the truth. So whether it's coal or whether it's lithium, whatever your choice is, the point is it takes an outside power source to run a car. And from time to time, we realize that we're dependent on that source, aren't we? Because our battery goes out. And we're like, oh, great. You know, the price of batteries today is a little bit pricey. Or maybe just something as simple as your cell phone needing charge. My cell phone needs charged all the time. I'm constantly reminded that I am dependent on a little power source if I want to use my cell phone. But our physical bodies are the same. We do not have life in and of ourselves. Our parents gave us life, at least initially, and we're finding that that life is diminishing. Don't you hate those online challenges where you have to get a picture of yourself from 10 years ago and then compare it to today? Those are really fun, aren't they? And you can see, if you want to really get scary, get out the photo albums, right? And start looking at pictures of your... Have you ever seen a picture of your parents and thought, well, they look so young? And then you realize, wait a minute, they're my age, or they're younger than me. You know, it can be physically kind of painful to go back 10, 20, 30, 40 plus years. Our life is diminishing. Jesus created everything. He gave life to everything. Out of the life that is in himself, we receive life from him. Look over here in Acts chapter 17. And verse 28, it says, for in him we live and move and have our being. In Jesus we live and move and have our being. The baby born in Bethlehem was the pre-existent God. And we'll see this as we continue our series on in the backstory of Jesus coming into the world. It changed everything. He was like a light shining in darkness. Christmas is all about Jesus, eternal, co-equal with God, and self-existing. Before the world was even created, God the Father and Jesus had a close relationship with one another. Although they were equal with each other, at some point, Jesus humbles himself to the Father's will. Now, we understand this very well in human relationships. In a marriage, a husband and a wife are equal with each other, right? They really are. The Bible says submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. But throughout a marriage, one partner submits to the other partner. Now, I realize a single person may say that is not right. In a marriage, everything has to be 100% equality all the time. Really? It doesn't work out that way, does it? And we don't understand that when you love somebody, you want to help them. And you want to submit to them. You just do it You want to serve them because you love them. Over the years, I've seen wives faithfully serving their husbands, cooking meals, trying to make their husbands comfortable. Other times, I've seen husbands caring for and serving a wife who had Alzheimer's and couldn't care for herself. Sometimes the spouse took it for granted. Sometimes they weren't even mentally aware of it, but it was done out of a selfless love. Well, before the world was even created, the Father and the Son and the Spirit all knew that the world would fall into sin. And God the Father decided that the Son would go into the world to save them. The plan was that Jesus would come into this world as a person. I want you to listen to the scripture. This is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. And this is talking about Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. A description of Jesus. Jesus, being purely God, would come to this world and he would take on humanity. God and man would be fused together into one person. Jesus would humble himself. He would make himself nothing. He would make himself obedient to the Father to the point that he would be on the cross giving his life. And we'll see that when Jesus came to this world, he entered time and space. He'd been in heaven with the Father, and it caused a change in their relationship. They had been close to one another, a face-to-face relationship, but that changed. If you remember in the Gospels, Jesus is always going to his Father, and he's praying to him for strength. He wanted to go back to be with his Father. On the night before his crucifixion, this is the prayer that Jesus had. This is from John 17 and verse 5. Jesus is praying to the Father. Listen to what he says in John 17, 5. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Jesus is basically saying, Father, I want to see your face again. He missed that closeness. Now, I think we all can relate. If you have adult children that don't live with you and you don't see them very often, you can talk to them every day. You can call them on the phone. You can text them. You can even video chat with them. And you can do this every day. And it's a nice way to keep in touch. But it's not the same as seeing them face to face. I'm separated from my daughter. I count the days until I get to see her again, even though we talk almost every night. So we have just a small idea of what it was like when Jesus came to this world. And we're going to see more about this as we continue in the back story of Christmas. But today, I want you just to grasp the idea that the decision and the planning for Jesus to come to this world happened before time even began. Now next week we're going to see that after the world was created, sin entered the world, it became a dark and full of evil, and God gave prophecies and promises of hope to prepare the world for the coming Messiah. But as we get into this Christmas season, hopefully you're probably going to be decorating, you're going to be getting plans, but buying gifts, doing all those things. Don't get too busy with all that other stuff to forget Jesus. So you can know the whole Christmas story. You can know all the characters. You can know Mary and Joseph. You can know the baby in the manger. You can know the shepherd. You can know the magi. You can know all those things. And you can even like that little baby in the manger. But if you don't know Jesus and have a personal relationship with him, then you've missed everything. We sing a song of invitation and I think I've got the words here on the screen. And this is one we've sang our whole life. Hark the herald angels sing. Actually, let me read these verses to you Verse 2 of this says, "Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel." It's right there in the Christmas chorus. We sing it all the time. If you have a decision, we invite you to make that today. Let's all stand as we sing.